the South of the Six podcast, bringing you the latest on your Toronto Raptors. Now, here are your hosts, Connor Chambers and Adam Corsair.
And thy watch is complete. Welcome back to the South of the Six podcast. I'm your host for today, Connor Chambers. Powercast podcast, obviously powered by CBC.TV Network. Today, I have joined with me a very energetic Adam Corsair.
Make your free throws!
I didn't say he could be positive energetic, I just say he's energetic. So, look, we normally don't record podcasts this quickly back-to-back. Mm-hmm. We set our concerns. We knew what was coming with this team. You called it.
I did.
I didn't call it. You called it.
I also called OKC.
Someone is on, and that someone is not me. Adam has the all-foreseeing glass. Now, normally, before we start a podcast and before we do an episode, we usually put together an agenda. And the agenda usually comprises of talking points and things that we want to discuss and things we want to make sure that we are conveying to you as the listeners. We decided today that no agenda was going to be put together. I think that might be a little bit disingenuous to the fact that I think today should be a therapy session. Today should be an opportunity to sit in the long chaise chair, head up into the ceiling, and get what's off your chest. Say what you gotta say, because ultimately, the season is now over. And with the season being over, this is your one opportunity to say your thoughts about the season, your thoughts about how things went, or your positives, your negatives, your vision for the future. Now is the opportunity for you to tell the listeners what exactly is going on in Adam Corsair's mind. Now, before Adam Corsair starts, and he's been saving a lot of his perspective from me. I'm not like I know what direction he's going to go in. But I don't exactly know what he's going to say or how he's going to say it. So this is going to be a surprise, I think, to me as to you listening. But he has a lot to say. So I'm going to leave the floor with Adam. And Adam, take as much or as little time as you need, as you want, as you desire. Everything that you want to get off your chest now is the chance.
Therapy session. Shout out to Peter K. Brings me back. Hope you're listening. Hope you're well. We have been saying for months that the writing was on the wall and this team should have tanked. We were guilty in the start of the season evaluating them as a 50-plus win team. We were obviously wrong. We've owned that. The expectations were based on last year's performance. I think there's more reason to believe that last year's performance, outcome, and showcase was more of a fluke than what we saw this year. The Raptors beat up on bad teams, sub 500 teams. The Raptors lost shooting 50% at the line. 50% at the line last night against Chicago at home. They lost by 4 points. They've missed 18 free throws. You hit a third of those, you win the game. A third. you win. The Raptors got beat by a 7-year-old girl. Your all NBA or close to it player got shook in the moment at the line talking about Pascal. Ooh. Can't say bad things about Pascal. Lest you get the fist of fury from Raptors fans on Twitter. But your almost all NBA player got shook at the line by a 7-year-old girl whose father got ousted in Toronto only to come back and bring his bloodline to shake the Raptors, shooting 50% at the free throw line. Poetic and pathetic. This team has a free agent in Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent Jr., Jakob Poeltl, extensions lined up for OG and Pascal, both of which could be in line for $40+ million a year if they wanted it. I'm sure a team would give it to them. We are a team heading into the luxury tax, and we're 500 and can't get out of a play-in game with zero superstars on this team. Where are all the push for the playoffs people now? Where are you? Stand up, because this is why you tank. I said it to you in the chat, Connor. This front office dry humped their way into the fucking play-in, hoping they could nut out a victory into the playoffs, only probably to get swept by Milwaukee. Instead, left this fan base with blue balls and got mopped by a team they were beating by 19 points. More than the free throws they missed. By one. This team, top to bottom, front office included, needs to be reevaluated. All of it. The entirety. The only two people I would say are safe: Scotty Barnes, Masai Ujiri. The rest can go nuclear. I don't give a fuck. Go ahead.
Mic drop. I don't disagree with anything that you've said. I think everything is very valid. I think that even though there's emotion behind it, that there is also truth behind it. Look, the fact of the matter is the Raptors missed 18 free throws last night. 18. Normally, we're crying about how the Raptors are lacking in free throw disparity, because other teams in the playoffs usually have 5 to 10 more free throws every single night than the Toronto Raptors. That didn't exist in this game. You cannot let the spawn of DeMar DeRozan tweak you out at the free throw line the way that the Raptors did. That tells me that they are not mentally strong enough.
Agreed.
If you can't hit free throws with that rah! In your ear, I would go louder, but I don't want to kill everyone's earbuds.
You know who's 100% at the line?
Who?
Precious.
It's my boy.
There you go. Sorry, go ahead.
I love him. No. Talk about mentally tough.
Yeah, you had a game.
Precious. Hey, you know what? There wasn't a hell of a lot to, you know, be happy about after the result of the game. Precious had a very good game in his limited minutes that he played. So, 6 points, 4 offensive rebounds. I know they're rebounds, but 4 offensive rebounds. Two for two from the free throw line, 2 of 4 from the field in 9 minutes. So sure. Good little stat line for him. That's probably one of the only positive things I can take from this game. If you look at box score, you can say that, you know, Siakam minus the free throw discrepancy had a good game. Sure. But he had an opportunity to tie the game with three free throws.
Mm-hmm.
And he hit one.
And that was a gift.
Yes. Because that shouldn't have been called.
No.
The Raptors are going to enter into what I believe to be the most interesting offseason in franchise history. And I'm including the offseason post-championship. I think that the team needs to pick a direction. I think, you know, I think they tried something, it failed. And now they're going to have to go in a direction. And who knows? We talked about it on this podcast before, Adam, where we said, was this pressure from MLSC to make the playoffs?
Yes. Yes.
Right? Maybe that's not the direction that this front office wanted to go. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Okay? Maybe that's not what they wanted to do. But maybe Larry Tannenbaum and the board is saying, you know, if this fails, then let's try it your way. But if we have an opportunity to do it here before we go into this retool rebuild, we should at least try for one more playoff push before we don't see playoff seats for the next 2 to 3 years.
Do you believe that?
No.
Because I believe Masai has carte blanche.
I don't. I'm trying to play devil's advocate.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I don't believe that. I'm just trying to throw out a scenario that I could possibly see, but I still believe, like you said, I think Masai Ujiri is carte blanche. They tried something, it failed, but not to the surprise of, I'd say, majority of the Raptors fan base. This team has underachieved. This team is not playing at the level that you expect a championship team to play at. Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, and Fred VanVleet played 42 minutes last night. Scotty Barnes played 40 minutes last night. Okay. Gary Trent Jr. had 17 minutes. Like that was outside the starting lineup. He was the sixth man in quotations at 17 minutes.
Worst performance.
1 of 7 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3, 2 points. It's a tough look. Look, ultimately, the issue resides in the fact that there was no depth. The plays looked so identical to one another. The offense became stagnant, and then you had to rely on defense, which, with these guys running 42 fucking minutes a night, they're exhausted. That is a big-time problem. And one that I can't see the Raptors consciously looking at this and saying we can keep this team the same going next season. It does not exist. So they're going to pick a direction. And when you have a team that has the assets like this and the ability to capitalize on those assets, when you're talking about asset management, ring a bell,
oh, yeah.
Then that is what the Raptors should be examining. Asset management. How do we capitalize on what we have right now? Because, look, you said it too. The Raptors are near a cap. And they are 500. Individually, you mentioned a lot of GMs would give Siakam, OG, 40-plus million. They look at Fred, they say, that guy can get 30 million. You look at Scottie Barnes, say, that's a max player. You look at Jakob Pirlo, say, yeah, that guy can get 15 million in the open market. You look at Gary Trent, say, that guy can get $20, $25 million in the open market. If these players weren't good, these numbers wouldn't be getting thrown out, right? So there has to be some value if other teams in the market dictate that that's what a player would get. So the fact of the matter is that there is value here to be had. how you decide to distribute and manage that value is something that we're gonna have to see Masai Ujiri put in. This might have to be his true masterclass.
The Raptors finished with a record of 41-41 and did not sell, besides picks. By the way, theoretically, more than likely, they have one pick within the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. Next year's first is a top six protected, if I remember correctly. To San Antonio.
I'll pull it up.
Okay. Here's my point. Raptors finished 41-41, did not sell, got booted in the play-in. To me, that's not making playoffs. Ninth seed wouldn't have finished in a playoff position given the old format anyway. 41-41. The Utah Jazz won four fewer games, 37-45, mm-hmm. while selling off two of their best players and got a boatload of picks for them, finished in 11th in the Western Conference.
Had some entertaining games.
What a fucking concept. Imagine. Where would you rather be right now?
So sad saying I'd rather be the Utah Jazz right now.
Think about it. You could have finished around or near Indiana and Washington, 11th, 12th, had your own first going into the lottery, and then some. What are you without? Fred VanVleet, who's walking for nothing. Gary Trent, who's walking for nothing. And if you can afford it, you have a year left of OG Anunoby. Unless you extend them. That's what I mean by if you can afford it. Same thing with Pascal. So imagine right now, the standard has been set. I always go back to this. People want to say, until they're blue in the face, trust Masai, trust the fan. Oh, you're not a Raptors fan, you're a hater. Hater.
You're a hater.
You know, people are like, it cost you nothing to be nice. It cost you nothing to be a hater, too. Just letting you know, both are free. Trust Masai. Trust the plan. Trust the process. Masai, we trust. Blah. Set the standard in 2018. You can't run back the same team and expect different results. You cannot do that. So you can't do it again. You can't stubbornly try to go into the postseason year after year. The writing is on the wall. This core cannot win. If you re-sign Fred VanVleet and you have Fred, Scotty, Pascal, and OG, and you let Gary walk, and if you sign Poeltl back, you cannot win with that squad. Period. You cannot. Now that Milwaukee is still good, Boston's only going to get better, Philly's pretty good depending on where Harden goes, but I'd still give them the edge. Cleveland's thriving. New York, much to your dismay, is getting better.
Hate it.
I don't think Brooklyn's that good. I don't think Miami is going to be good. They're aging out. Atlanta, we don't know what's going on with Trae Young. He might get traded. The bottom of the barrel is still what it is, but the Raptors cannot win a championship with this core. Period. Period. I don't care how much you believe in the team. Believe in them. Great. This doesn't make me not a fan. It's just calling out the facts. This squad on its own cannot win a championship. Accept it. Because it's facts. 2 + 2 = 4. Water's wet. Raptors can't win with this squad. Period.
All non-debatable. That is ultimately the crux of any argument that Raptors Nation has to have. Like, if you think that this team can win a championship as currently constructed, you are delusional. You're delusional. That has shown for multiple seasons that it cannot happen. So you've given this team more than enough opportunity. You gave them way more than enough opportunity, especially in this postseason.
Yeah.
So now it's time. Now it's time to make some hard decisions. Now it's time to evaluate and say what's available, what's out there, what can I maximize for who? Who do I let walk? Who do I re-sign? Who can I use as trade bait potentially going into next season? Who can I get back on this? And who can I move there? And it's a fucking chess game now at this point. Maybe they look and say, well, Fred and Trent walk. Fred and Gary walk. Frees up potentially a max money slot if you get rid of like an OG for lots of picks or something, and you get like you still hold on to a guy like a Pascal and a Scotty, you might free up another max slot and you use that for someone else, and then maybe they tinker that way. But there's still a lot that needs to be filled in this team. The shooting is terrible. Like, we rely on Gary Trent Jr. If he has a night like he had against the Bulls, you're in fucking trouble. Right? Fred shot 7 of 13 from 3. It was a good 3-point shooting night. The rest of his night was pretty bad, in my opinion. 8 of 22 from the field, 3 of 6 from the free throw line. You know, that is really hard. You know, that's really fucking difficult.
3 of 6. You said 8.
Oh, sorry. That's my
bad. I was confused. I was like, what?
No, wrong. 3 of 6,
yes,
pardon me.
3 of 6.
My bad. Mm-hmm. That just cannot happen. You know why? I think I had mistakenly also looked at OG, because OG is 3 of 8 mm-hmm. from the free throw line as I was like moving through my stats. And that still is terrible too. Like, I mean, guys, come on, man. Pascal, 5 of 11 from the line. OG, 3 of 8 from the line. Scotty, 4 of 7. Jakob, 1 of 2. Fred VanVleet, 3 of 6. Precious, 2 of 2.
You just needed the starting lineup to hit one extra free throw each. And they win.
Each. Like, literally looking at Siakam, if the starters went 6 of 11 from the line, 4 of 8, 5 of 7, 2 of 2, 4 of 6.
They win.
Simple math. Like, how sad is that? How sad is that? You are a professional NBA basketball player. Hit your fucking free throws. I am so sick of this. Everyone plays the flashy game and blah, and then they get to the line, they don't know how to fucking shoot a basketball. Wake up. This team is not mentally strong enough to go through a postseason. They've shown it in one play-in game because of a girl that was screaming in their ear. Are you kidding me? Ridiculous.
Raptors got the benefit of the whistle, too.
They did. Oh, they did.
You know? And you look at Chicago's free throw percentage. Only 3 players went to the line. On the entire team. The entire team... Only 3. This includes the bench. Only 3 players went to the line. Granted, Zach LaVine went 15 times. But he's that guy.
Zach always puts himself in those positions, though.
Remember when the Raptors couldn't beat the Bulls? And there was 10 straight games spanning over 3 or 4 seasons that the Raptors couldn't beat the Bulls? And Jimmy Butler and at sometimes Derrick Rose were fucking murderers for the Raptors. Right now, that's Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan came out to play yesterday. And you know what? You guys want to hear something positive about the Raptors? I think the Raptors tried. Like, I saw them last week against Boston. They looked disinterested. They looked disheveled. They looked completely lazy. They did not care about that game. They tried last night. And they couldn't beat a 10th seed in their own home.
That's bad.
In a winner go home situation. I think they were, they owned the record 2-1 against Chicago, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
You can't win a play. If this team, which I believe they did, tried as best that they could, you want to run that squad back? Oh, we need a year of Jakob Poeltl. Dude, my biggest fear is that they don't re-sign him and he goes elsewhere, because now you pissed away a first and a second. Gone. Yeah. Just gone.
That first is top six protected, by the way.
Okay.
So you are correct. Jakob Poeltl is still a very good player. Like, yeah. I'm not, the team, in my opinion, got better with him. Okay. So I don't want to sit here and say that that was a poor trade, but I completely, and I'm not saying that's what you're saying either. I'm just saying that
it's not worth it.
No, especially what we understand now, right? It's not worth it. And that might have been the last ditch effort from the guys to say, look, this, like, on paper, this is a pretty complete team from our opinion. Maybe they're just missing that guy at center that can, like, help, you know, on the defensive end and has got a good touch around the rim and stuff. Sure, it helped, but you're losing to fucking Chicago in the play-in.
At home.
I was blown away by what I saw. I wanted to say I couldn't believe it, but I did in a way. Like, it's one of those I can't believe what just happened, but you could also believe it. Like, I've been burned by them so many times that it actually made sense.
Mm. I got blue-balled, you know, being up by 19 points. Like, I was cruising.
Okay.
In the back of my mind, I was like, fourth quarter's coming. This is going to be, you know, because they're gassed.
Yeah.
And look, here's where I struggle. You want to say, and you were playing devil's advocate. So again, I don't want to say this is what you're
hearing. Yes, yeah. No, I understand. Yeah.
But let's just say MLSE said to Bobby and Masai, look, let's give some effort. If it doesn't work, we'll do what you want in the summer. Okay. Mm-hmm. They reach out to San Antonio, or, you know, there's through the grapevine, whether through Siakam or what have you. They find out, yo, Jakob probably would like to sign with Toronto. Here's my argument. You could have had both. You could have sold and signed him in the summer. If you were so confident that Jakob Poeltl was down and willing to return, you could have signed him then and traded away assets and recouped picks, and you could have had a full on reset of a roster that doesn't even necessarily have to be a rebuild. You could have had, let's just say you move OG and Fred at the deadline, and you don't move Pascal, Scotty. Yeah, and you don't have Jakob, right? And so you fall.
Yeah.
Let's just say your lottery pick is favorable and you're a top five.
Sure.
Okay. Now you have a top five pick. You still have your second. You still have your first next year. Oh, and you've acquired picks through trading away whoever.
Yeah.
And in the summer, you could have afforded to sign Jakob Poeltl anyway. I understand it's attractive to have his bird rights and up against, you know, luxury tax and all that. I get it. But if you're trading away the players anyway and you're getting the pick value, you could have built a decent roster to compete, or you could have sold those picks away for proven talent to bolster this roster or bolster a core, whatever it may be, and you would have been in better shape next year. You see what I'm saying? Like, if they knew if they are so confident that Jakob Poeltl's coming back, why trade for him? Just sign him. I don't understand. You could have had both. And that's what's frustrating about this. You know, full season of Jakob Poeltl, we'll find out. You could have had it anyway. We're going to find out anyway, it seems. So what does it matter? You could have sold. That's what pisses me off, is that you could have sold. And if we're hanging our hat on, like, that being just a devil's advocate play, and we believe, and which I kind of do, that Masai and or Bobby were so stubborn about making a playoff push, because I don't think Masai is stupid. And if we thought if they make it to Milwaukee, they're getting spanked. There's no way. He is not delusional. I don't know of any Raptors fan that would legitimately think they had a shot against Milwaukee winning a series. And if Masai does, you've lost your marbles, bro. I don't think he did. But if Bobby was like, yo, let me take the reins, let me make these moves, you need to be held accountable.
I agree. Whoever made this decision needs to be held accountable. I don't know, and I don't think we'll ever know, who decided to keep this team for a playoff push when literally almost everybody was begging for them to sell. But that failed. If that fails, you need to be held accountable. That is the way the world works. It's not like this was a decision that everyone would have agreed upon, like, unanimously, and said, you know what, like, this is the year, go for it. And then something had failed there, and it's like, okay, well, it was out of the control of, you know, the management, because they set the team up for success type of deal, right? Like
if Kawhi failed,
correct, you can't then blame. it's like okay, well, you know what, like, kudos to them for at least fucking trying.
Yes,
right. And bringing arguably an MVP, right? Like, that is different, right? Like, you need to separate the context. And I know it's what you're doing, but I'm just saying in general. For something like this, like, it was very well written on the walls. Like, this is not going to work. To be able to not read that and still push forward anyways, completely echoing what you're saying, someone absolutely needs to be held accountable. 1,000%. We'll never know who that is, but I am hoping whoever made that decision faces the accountability, because it was a failure. It was a failure. Plain and simple.
That's why I think a blow up is necessary. Look, there are teams, there are models that are doing it right. We've seen what Cleveland can do. They're doing it right. And in a way, it echoed what the Raptors did.
Yeah.
Except, say what you want about, like, Colin Sexton and what have you, but I don't know that Cleveland ended up giving up a cornerstone talent like a DeMar DeRozan and a budding solid rim protector in Jakob Poeltl, a player akin to those, in exchange for a Kawhi slash Donovan. Like, it's not, they didn't have to give as much in terms of its emotional baggage and impact. Yep. You know, it was a risk.
Yep.
And plus, they now have him.
Yes.
You know, it's,
yeah. Or as we did.
New York's doing it right. I'm sorry.
We are. I hate it, but they are.
You know, Brunson is, he's a talent.
He's a really good piece.
Yep. To a degree, it looks like Indiana is kind of set up for success.
Look at Houston.
Houston, if the rumors are true,
I think Houston's the next team of that wave of rebuilding squads that we put, like, the Clevelands of the world into, where they're going to be back on the map. I really like what they're doing. I love Şengün.
Yeah,
Şengün is a fantastic center. I really like his game. You know, Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., all those guys, like, really young, fun team. Get a couple vets on there and they're going to make the playoffs next year.
Right now,
they may have potentially the first overall pick. They may have Victor Wembanyama on that team.
Yeah, fair.
Holy fuck. Victor Wembanyama and Alperen Şengün is your front court.
Unless they go Scoot.
I doubt it, because they have a lot of guard play.
Yeah. And they're probably going to resign.
They have Green, Porter Jr. Like, they have a lot of guard play there.
They re-signed Harden. They signed Kyrie.
They signed Jaylen Brown.
Well, he still has a year left.
Well, but that's what I mean. But, trade for him.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's,
that's what I meant.
Yeah.
They have the assets to do it too.
They do. Right now, the Raptors are closer to a team like Washington than a team like Cleveland.
Yes. Yeah.
And what's worse about that is what the Raptors can hang their hat on, maybe, is that the best talent in Washington, the only talent in Washington, is better than the best talent in Toronto. I think Beal is better than Siakam. You don't think so? Who would you rather have?
I think I'd rather have Siakam.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's like a slam dunk, right? Like, that's not what I'm trying to sit here and say about him. But I'm just taking a look at his averages this season. 23-ish, we'll call it 23 points this season. Under 4 rebounds. 84% from the line, so that's nice. Things you like to see. 36% from 3, 50% from the field.
Okay, and Siakam is 24 points, about 8 rebounds, so I'll give him the edge there.
Mm-hmm.
75% at the line.
Mm-hmm. Edge to Beal. Mm-hmm.
32% from 3.
Yep.
And 48% from the field.
Sure, but Beal's a shooting guard. Right? Beal should be having an advantage in the threes, and Siakam should be having an advantage in the rebounds. Mm-hmm. I think that Siakam gives you better defense than Bradley Beal, and I think they're both pretty similar on the offensive side.
That's why I lean
Siakam.
How many minutes for Beal?
Beal averaged 33.5 minutes this season.
34.5 for Pascal. So it might be a wash.
Yeah.
Considering it all. Look, fine. It's semantics.
I think that's still pretty, like, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that's like,
yeah,
not close or anything, you know what I mean?
I just think we know what Pascal is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not bad. This is not a knock on him. We know what he is. I think we've seen it. I think we know what OG is. I don't think there's a lot of room for improvement from OG. I think he's at his peak, and this peak may stay steady for a year or two, but I don't think he's going to break into top five territory. Neither will Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think Fred VanVleet's due for a decline, for a regression.
I agree.
Okay, so probably going to end up re-signing him anyway, but because who else are we going to go after? There's no superstar on this team, and I know it's really hard to swallow that because Pascal is so loved and he does everything right. He really does in terms of off the court, everything. And he's such a wonderful person, right? And it's like you're making fun of your friend, and I'm not. I'm just calling out the obvious. He's a fantastic talent. He's a great 1B. He's a great Scottie Pippen. He'll never be a Jordan on a team. I'm sorry. This team needs a Jordan. He's a great Dwayne Wade. This team needs a LeBron. For all you young cats out there. You know, like, it needs an actual superstar. Every team needs a superstar to win.
Siakam's like Steph Curry. You just need Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Yeah. Or right now, given like how good Steph is.
I'm kidding. I'm completely kidding.
Yeah, he's a Clay.
Yeah.
And we need the Steph.
Yeah, we need Steph.
Who is that guy? I don't know. Masai swung before, but everyone holds their hat.
There's only one name that makes sense to me.
It's not, and there's no reason OKC should trade him. It doesn't make sense anymore.
Not anymore. No. Not anymore. Average age of their starting lineup last night, under 22 years of age.
There's no reason. There's no reason.
No. Not anymore.
And the only evidence we have is, because Presti likes picks. That's it. That's the evidence.
That is the evidence, but now is the time. Like, he's seeing it, and he said, okay, now is when I can start using these picks to my advantage.
Yes. Yes.
Now is when I can start throwing multiple firsts and not give a shit, because I can do this for 3 trades in a row if I want to and get 3 absolute studs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shea, in my opinion, is not going anywhere.
He's not.
Which sucks. Unless the only way Shea would ever go is if he threw a conniption fit and he was like, get me to Toronto, which I just don't think he's going to do. I think he's too much of a professional and he's going to want to win. He's seen the direction OKC's going. He's seen the direction Toronto's going. And he's like,
Yep.
You know what I mean? No.
Stop dreaming with Luka. It's not happening.
Oh, Luka's not happening. No, please.
And I don't want Trey.
Giannis will happen, but everyone else will not happen.
Yeah, Giannis will happen when he's washed.
No.
It's finally been fulfilled. But look, this is what I'm saying. Like we, and I think Fred VanVleet sort of referenced this in his postgame. We cling as a fan base to the championship season. And that is the evidence for people to say, trust Masai. Worked with Kawhi Leonard. Trust Masai. Show me something else.
Mm-hmm.
Show me something else to give me a good reason why. Like, besides the moves in that offseason, besides trading DeMar and Pirtle and getting Green and Kawhi and firing Dwayne Casey, show me something else. You know, free agency has been shit. Where's Otto Porter? Where'd he go?
That guy's on some fucking island somewhere, bro.
He's just chilling, right? And
holy
before that,
shit.
The best signing was Damari Carroll as a free agent. Right? This team has a lot of evidence for not selling assets when they needed to be sold. Case in point, Gasol and Ibaka.
Yeah.
The only time it's happened that we got something is because it was a mutually agreed understanding was Lowry.
Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even then, like, we're looking at Precious Achiuwa and Dragic.
Dragic was a fan favorite, though, so it's fine.
Oh, yeah, no. Raptors legend.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. Ime Udoka, welcome to the Raptors.
If they're going to do something radical and they want a culture shock, sure. But does Ime want to coach this team? I think he's going to have other options.
Like where?
Are we sure Nick Nurse is going to Houston?
I'm pretty positive from what I've heard. Like that take, like if Houston are interested in Nick Nurse and Nick Nurse is interested in them, it's going to happen. So.
And where's the other vacancies? Atlanta?
Atlanta? Actually, I don't know. No, apparently they're going to re-sign.
What's his I thought it was a just a tentative position.
Yes, but I'm hearing that they built a really good relationship. And I'm completely blanking on his name right now. But you know, another name that would be interesting for the Raptors would be Kenny Atkinson. I've always liked his game. And, game meaning coaching style. And I think he's been in some pretty shitty situations. Kenny Atkinson might be a little interesting name that the Raptors could go after.
Fuck, we forgot the Pistons, too.
Okay, but, like, fuck me. Would you rather... Okay, Pistons are an up-and-coming team, but you have to live in Detroit.
I'm just saying, do you think Ime would rather coach in Detroit than Toronto?
No.
Okay.
I would rather coach Toronto, even if they were dog shit, compared to a really good Pistons team.
Okay.
That's just me. Like, I wouldn't want to live in Detroit for all that time. Fuck that.
Let me throw this out there.
Unless they're paying me millions more, I'm not doing it.
Don't get mad. Don't get mad.
Uh-oh, here we go.
D'Antoni?
D'Antoni's not going to... No, man. D'Antoni is so washed, dude. No one's going to... Do you think D'Antoni would come in here and get the respect of the players? I don't.
Depends on who's here.
Let's assume that he comes in when almost everyone from the roster is still here. Almost mean probably a few changes. Do you think he gets the respect of that locker room? I don't. I think Ime Udoka would get the respect of that locker room.
I think he's the most that's a bad way to put it.
Oh.
I was going to say he's the most relatable. In terms of how he coaches and how he interacts with players, players only.
Is that so? Only the players.
Only the players. I mean, I'm looking at vacancies right here. Frank Vogel, no thanks.
No.
Is Atkinson, like, that much of an... We're only thinking of the upgrades because Nick wants out, we're assuming.
Look, right? I'm saying that if the Raptors are going to go into rebuild and you're not getting Ime Udoka, I wouldn't mind Kenny Atkinson for a couple years.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you prefer Ime over Nick Nurse?
Today?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't blame Nick Nurse for last night at all. I don't blame him for the performance this season. He had no bench.
I understand that. But in a game where he didn't use his bench, he lost.
Because
you can't put the bench into this, right?
I don't think Nick Nurse is shooting free throws.
I think that we saw a team that ran the same fucking shit over and over and over again. How many inbound plays were run the exact same? Like, you have to understand that as a professional basketball team, and you see the same fucking setup and the same shit, you can cut that off really easily, and that becomes really difficult for your team. Like, you're in playoffs. This is a do or die game. The fact that you're running the same shit over and over again to me is unacceptable.
It was working. Nick Nurse did not miss 18 free throws.
I'm not saying that like Nick Nurse is responsible for the free throws.
I'm saying that's why they lost.
Sure. Sure. That is why they lost. Like, the free throws are why they lost at the end of the day. For sure. If we have to put it on one thing, I'm not going to pin it on Nick Nurse. I'm going to pin it on the free throws. I don't think he helped, though.
All right. So today you'd rather have Ime. Fine. Imagine if Ime goes elsewhere. Is there anyone here that you'd rather have than Nick Nurse? Frank Vogel, Mike D'Antoni, even Kenny Atkinson, Sam Cassell.
They might look at one of the assistants. Like, I just think nothing to do.
Griffin.
Maybe assistants from other teams too, Griffin to me becomes like, if they can't get Udoka, they probably bring in Griffin for like a year or two.
Yeah.
The problem is that I just think that, you know, there needs to be a new voice right now. Like, he has lost the guys there. You can even see it when he's running through plays and shit. They're talking on their own. They're not even listening to him. When they're on the bench and they're in the huddle, they're doing their own thing. They're not even paying attention to him. The body language speaks more than anything else I see on the court. Like, when I see a camera looking at, like, guys in timeout, or if I'm at a Raptors game, like, I look at that because I'm like, are they listening to him?
Facts.
Are they giving him the time of day? Because any time that there's a coach that has the respect and command of that locker room, all eyes are on him. Every single player, even the ones that are not playing, are attentive and they're listening. Okay, what's he drawing up for us? And then they start working with each other. Okay, yeah, based on this, like, you go here, you go there. But like, guys are fucking tuning him out. You're tuning him out, man. Like, to me, it's just like, it doesn't even matter how skilled you could be. Greg Popovich, at this point, you'd be prime Phil Jackson. I don't care. Like, if you've lost the ears and the attentiveness of your players, it is over.
If you're bringing in a new voice, an assistant from elsewhere, not from your system, and it's not Ime, I think you have to kind of blow it up.
I agree.
And you let Scotty be the guy. And it's going to be rough. The thing is that they put themselves in a corner because they have to sign Poeltl. They have to, or else that first round is worthless. You have to, which means you're probably going to have to keep Siakam. So you're building around Siakam, Poeltl, and Scotty, and you're trading away. Hopefully you can organize a sign and trade with Fred. And no, you trade away OG.
That won't happen.
While his value is still at its peak.
Yeah.
I think that's the move.
I don't think they have much of a choice.
I think that's the move.
Scotty's not going anywhere.
No, he can't.
Pascal would feel like a big time move. And that doesn't feel like one that happens in this offseason. That's an offseason trade. I don't think that happens.
Yeah, now. I don't think Poeltl comes back if Siakam's traded.
Agree. I can see that maybe happening next offseason, depending. Like, not this one, next one.
Mm.
But that would be the earliest I would see it. But we'll see. Changes are coming. Big time moves are to be made.
What is your prediction?
My prediction is Freddie and Gary both leave this team in some capacity. I don't think Freddie does a sign and trade. I don't think he really fucking cares, to be honest. And I don't think he has that same level that Lowry does, where he's like, yeah, fuck it all. Like, help me out a little bit on this. Gary, I think, is just going to... I just don't think the Raptors want to tie up extra money into someone like a Gary if they're going to want to take the direction of, you know, not being as good and being a little bit more shitty.
Yeah.
So you're just going to walk, which is unfortunate, but these are things to clear up cap space for future moves.
Yes.
So there is that benefit to it in a cap world. There's benefit there. If this wasn't a cap world, then I'd say that's fucking stupid of us. I think the Raptors bring back Poeltl. I think before draft day, OG Anunoby is dealt.
Mm-hmm.
In between the draft lottery and draft day, when the Raptors understand where teams are picking and they understand what's available, I think OG Anunoby will be dealt before draft day. And then they run with Siakam, Barnes, Poeltl, probably one of their top picks that they get. Something else. Like, I could see a world where they hit up Indiana and they're like, you want to do that trade again?
If you really want to go for it and build a solid core, if you're re-signing Poeltl, I know this is much to your dismay. You don't really need Wembe. I'd go for Scoop. Because you need a guard. And
so you're saying if the Raptors got the first overall pick?
I'd say if you can find a way to trade your own first, wherever it lands in the lottery, plus OG to the team that's picking two or even one.
I don't think the team that's picking one is going to trade. But if the team's picking two wants to trade, I would do that deal. I would do OG plus, let's say, 12 or 13 in this example for two.
It'd have to be, because
I would do that.
Would you do it for your 25 first?
Do we have that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you do it? Okay, so if you do it for that, would you do it for your 24? I'm assuming if the Raptors land within the top six, it gets deferred to San Antonio the following year.
That's what I believe. I haven't read. All I know is that it's top six protected. I'll have to read more into it, but all I know is that top six protected there.
All right. So just this year's first plus a future first and OG for the right to pick Scoot. I'm smashing accept. And you build around Scoot, Scotty, you have Jakob, and you find a way to extend Pascal. There you go.
Yep.
Build.
Mm-hmm. I'm there for it.
That's the move.
If you do that, you can bring back Gary.
I don't know why I want him.
I know, I'm just saying you can fill your starting five that way. It'd be Scoot, Gary, Scotty, Pascal, Pirtle.
That's a playing team.
Sure, but then it's a higher ceiling playing team, right? Because now you have Scotty and Scoot.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it depends on what your approach and your mantra is. Do you value getting that little bit of experience while still being able to build a young team, or do you want to completely go nuclear? I always think that it's better to go nuclear for a few years, and then you find the guys that have that experience to bring into the team and say, hey, we're going to go through 2 years of playoffs. This is what it's going to look like. This is how we're going to handle it. And then we're going to be a fucking contender. That's how I think you should approach it. I don't think this like half-ass bullshit. Yes, the Clevelands, the now looking at the Houstons, the way Philly had done it for years.
New York.
Milwaukee. Like I'm trying to think of teams, you know, that were shit and Boston. Now are good.
Boston
did, but Boston never really bottomed out. I know that they were shit for like a year, like really dog shit for a year, but they never really bottomed out, which is very Boston like. But they were in like the 12th seed for a bit sometimes and those type of deals, but they were never like the worst team.
No.
I think the Sacramento. One year they were garbage. Sacramento, right? What San Antonio's got brewing, they're going to be a good team. You got to give San Antonio like two more years and they'll be a good team. They got some really good young pieces on that team. Houston is a little bit ahead of them and they're going to start making their move. But
and they got picks.
Memphis.
Yep.
The way Memphis did it. Like these are the type of scenarios that I'm talking about. Right, Denver had done it. Fuck, Phoenix. Phoenix had Booker. Phoenix got Ayton. Like you have to think the Bridges. Like they had the pieces through the draft to get them to where they are. Of course, yes, they made the trades and they got the pieces that way as well. But they worked through the draft to get those assets to be able to execute on those trades.
Yeah.
If you're missing on the draft, then you don't have the value. So they did miss on Bender though. Dragon Bender. That was a rough one. That was a miss.
Anyways. They need a sustainable.
There's ways of going about this. I think that we both agree that it should be more on the nuclear side of things than not. But I don't know if they'll do that. I'm curious. I think this is really going to have to be Masai Ujiri's masterclass this offseason.
Yeah.
I don't think that. We have to see something. I think the Raptors were always very content, especially around like draft time, just kind of like staying put and doing what they got to do. And blah, blah. I don't think that type of mentality can exist in this draft prep and this offseason. Changes have to be made, moves have to be executed upon, asset has to be managed
correctly.
Correctly. No Vince Carter trades, please.
No. No, but
I know they wouldn't. I'm just saying. So I think they're actually good on the trade front.
Would you rather them? Last question. And I'll stop.
Yes.
Would you rather them bottom out and sort of like attain assets in terms of pick capital, or would you rather see Masai be like, "No, I'm going for another Kawhi home run here"?
I don't know because
I'm inclined to the former.
Nothing is ever guaranteed if you bottom out, right? Like there's still a good chance that you will find, like if you have the right people and you have the right staff there, there's good chance that you'll find quality in the draft, whether it's top tier, like the early second rounds, or maybe you got someone's like middle to late first round pick in a trade where you sold someone off and you start finding talent there. Like there's ways you can do that, but nothing is ever guaranteed there. I think it's almost better when you look and you're like, this guy is proven, like this guy's guaranteed, this guy is like the guaranteed talent. It also depends on what they're getting rid of in a move like that, because then you have to look at the trade and be like, okay, well, where does this leave the team? Like, do we think that they're better? A shakeup has to happen. To me, I don't really care if it's to bring in a stud or to bottom out, but I think those are the only two directions you can go in with this team. I don't think there's another choice.
I just rather see the bottom out scenario, because even when he tried to with the Rudy Gay trade and, you know, trying to tank and acquiring like Lowry and stuff at the time, it didn't end up happening. So we've never seen a true prolonged tank, and I don't count Tampa, true prolonged tank season, couple seasons from Messiah, full rebuild. I want to see it. Then you're proven. You've proven you were able to trade for a superstar and win a championship. I'm not saying that's easy, but that's easier than building a championship consistent like a Golden State.
Yeah,
prior
I agree.
To like KD and shit, you know.
I agree. All right. Well, look, I mean, again, so many different paths that this team can take. So many different opportunities that present itself to the Toronto Raptors. Obviously, we're not smart enough to be in that front office, but if we were, this is the perspectives I think that we both share, and I think we're both pretty aligned on what we would expect and what we would do. Before we sign off for the final podcast of the 2022-2023 season, is there any closing remarks or anything else that you would like to say before we wrap up?
I'm glad we did this. You know, I'm glad we brought it back. This has been fun. Like, it sort of, I didn't, you know, feel like, of course, when we started it, I felt like we brought something back. But, you know, throughout the course of the season, it sort of just gelled. I think you and I gelled tremendously well. And I think that the schedule benefited both of us. And I think by doing that, it prevented, I'm going to speak for myself, but I think you're in this case too. It prevented burnout. So you and I got a lot going on in our personal lives. So being able to do this at the schedule and the frequency that we did benefited me. Hopefully it benefited you. Hopefully it benefited the listeners in terms of spacing it out. And I hope you enjoyed the content. I'd love to do this again next season.
I think you can put us in for next season. So listeners that are in there, I think that there's a lot of daily podcasts and a lot of daily Raptors content that you can consume. I think it's nice to be able to know that every like 2 weeks you have these guys popping in, and it's kind of like a little bit of a treat too. I think that daily space is so crowded, and like you said, the schedule worked out really well for us. I really enjoyed it, and it never felt like a burden to have to hop on. I never sat down in front of the microphone, the camera here, and said, oh,
same.
Like I have to do this.
Same.
Right. And I know you and I have experienced that before. And, you know, just because of the fact that it's always just so like in your face and repetitive, and we have to get this done, and we're on the schedule, and we were very fluid. And I think that really benefited us. So, I think we gel really well, both on and off the court, I'll say, on and off the mic.
Yeah.
And, I think that leads to a lot of good content, and hopefully, like you said, hopefully the listeners enjoy that as well. And hopefully they're ready to hear us again next season. I think we'll probably do, we'll chat about when the next one will be. I don't know. Maybe we do like a end of season recap of the playoffs potentially. Maybe we do, like an off season preview of some more rumors or stuff. Like typically when it was the off season last year, like if something came up, maybe we do like a draft episode. Yeah. We do like this and that. It won't be the 2 weeks that you guys are probably accustomed to, but we'll make it known when the next one's coming up on the socials, and that way you guys are ready to go. But I know I speak for Adam as well too, and when I just say thank you to everybody for listening over the course of this season. It's the passion project that Adam and I wanted to revitalize, and I think that, you know, for our first season, I think it went really well, and I'm really excited to keep this going. And hopefully we have some sort of direction and excitement for the team come next season. Think is the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
But that pretty much wraps us up. And that's crazy to say, because like I said, I literally remember, it felt like yesterday starting this up again. So wraps us up for this season. If you haven't already, please consider smashing the like button, subscribing to the podcast, leaving a 5-star review if you did enjoy. You can find us on all of your favorite podcatchers except for SoundCloud. Adam does mumble rap on the side, but that's not us, so maybe you can find that there a little, but you know, not me. Thank you again to CMC.TV Network for allowing the South of Six podcast to live. And if you want to find us on the socials, he is at Adam Corsair. I am at Connor Chambers. And the Twitter for us is at South of the Six, spelt with the number six and the letters IX. Any last final words from you, Mr. Adam, before I hit him with the sign off?
Nah. Go Raptors forever, but feel your feels.
All right, well, go Raptors forever, and hopefully by the time you hear us next time, we have some juicy news to share with you. And until then, we'll chat with you soon. Peace out.
Thank you for listening to the South of the Six podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at South of the Six and subscribe to our show. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. Yeah, we're everywhere. While you're at it, if you liked what you heard, do us a solid and leave us 5 stars and a quick review. We appreciate it. Thanks again. Go Raptors.